morning.
Good morning.
So, this is Wenchia.
And this is Andrew.
That was weird. What are we talking about today?
McKenna had a question for you.
Oh, that's how you always shake your head and make me... He always starts these conversations with his eyes and his facial gestures, and I don't know how to respond to them. And you guys can't see them. That's the drawback.
That's the power of podcasts.
The drawback of you have to use your imagination. Mm-hmm. Well, we started out this morning. McKenna was trying to read The Hobbit, and she's like, I can't read this book, even though she's read it for the second time. And then I came downstairs and found Andrew trying to read The Hobbit. Well, this all started because this weekend you felt like, okay, going back, more steps back. Our friend gave us some honey from a farm that was like, you know, organic honey, avocado blossom honey from local bees. And we're really excited to have it. And we were having honey and cheese and we got some nice bread. And then Andrew said,
I'm going to watch The Hobbit.
You said, this makes me, how come you can't like do it the way you like said it when we're, now you're just like, where's this going?
Okay. I feel like I'm on a...
You're like on
I'm in one of those self-driving cars and I don't know where we're going.
That's okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like The Hobbit. We started watching it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the whole honey stuff, like that put you in the mood. You're like, I'm in the mood to watch The Hobbit because they had this whole, you know, like scene in the movie of like eating with like honey and cheese and bread. And so... that's how we got to the Hobbit, and then McKenna wanted to read it, which she reread before. Mm-hmm. By the way, where this conversation is going is just telling stories. I want it to be just like a conversation between you and me. The whole thing that Andrew has trouble with, which we're trying to, he likes an agenda for these podcasts, and I don't. I want them to be like we're having our regular conversation, which is the conversation we have every morning when we're having our breakfast and coffee. But he wants to like script it out or have a plan.
It's not a script. It's a point. Well, like, what's the end goal here?
You write it all. You like to like write it all down with a map. Yes. So we're in a self-driving car. Let's just explore. Let's just have a talk.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be scripted, but you all always right. end up wanting to have like, you know, the script. So I think that's part of what the conversation today is, you know, what we have and expectations of life and, you know, your expectations.
Yeah. You've mentioned the word script many times. I've never said that. I've only said, well, what's the point of this thing?
Yes.
Yes.
But you want to jot it down. I'm calling.
Yeah, I want to write down what the point is. So you can call it a script.
We'll call it a script because, again, now we're discussing semantics, which you love to discuss.
No, I'm just talking about like what is actually true and what is not.
So when I say stuff and you say stuff, I say stuff using my own vocabulary.
Very loose.
Yes. But
like when she words.
Fine. Those are my words coming out of my mouth, but you say whatever words that come out of your mouth. So I use my words to describe how I feel and then you use your own words, but you don't need to give, you know, like my description. And so for your description, if you're just going to use your facial expressions and your eyes and not going to use words, I will use my own words to, you know, be whatever that helps me explain.
Right. But it doesn't help if you're using words that then implant the wrong thoughts into other people's head because they hear script and script means you say this, I say this, you say this. That's not ever what I suggested.
Okay, a map then, whatever. But we're not, so again, I'm not having a conversation about semantics. I'm having a conversation about how we go about doing our podcast. Okay. You like to
so
write
I'm ready.
Down
I'm
things.
On this self-driving car, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. So what I was saying was, then you came home, and then you were reading The Hobbit, because McKenna had put it down. And then what did you say to me?
So what I said this morning was, I wonder if the reason why McKenna gave up on picking up The Hobbit again is because she reads it like how she reads Harry Potter, in that she's trying to devour the book in a way to enjoy the story, but that involves getting through it really fast. It's like almost the words are in the way of like getting to the story. Whereas, and for me, that was my initial problem with The Hobbit, because I had already seen the movie, you know, when I was a kid, the cartoon movie.
Not the really good Hollywood eyes one.
Not the recent Hollywood thing. And I was just trying to get to the story. And it seemed really slow to me and rambly.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of our conversation.
Okay. And I said, instead, the way that I found to like The Hobbit and the writing of Tolkien is to sort of take it one bite at a time, mm-hmm. and just enjoy where you are right then and there in reading this paragraph. So that's another way that you can enjoy reading, in particular the way that Tolkien writes and tells stories. Yeah.
So I wonder if we could enjoy our conversations together and not get to the point of what the point of the podcast would be, but enjoy our talks.
Yes, but Tolkien does have a point. He doesn't just stream of consciousness.
You had to say ramble on.
He doesn't just stream of consciousness, write down whatever he's feeling, and then mm-hmm. publishes that.
Yes.
Right.
But we're living in a day and age that allows us to do that.
Sure.
So, as Tolkien's consciousness, or what he intended, yes, he's writing, but he uses a lot of descriptive writing, and that was difficult for McKenna to get through, even though she's read The Hobbit once before.
Yeah.
But maybe when she read it, actually the first time she read it, she did not watch the movie.
Okay. Anyway, so she's trying to enjoy it in a different way, and I don't know if it's the case, but for mm-hmm. me, that was the issue, mm-hmm. and I wonder if the same is true with her. Mm-hmm. So when she hears this podcast, or the next time I see her, I will relate this little insight to her and see if
it's applicable to her. That will be good to ask her opinion. Hopefully she will come on the podcast. She doesn't at the moment want to listen, Irene. She doesn't want to listen to our podcast, and any of our children don't want to listen. But again, whose kids want to listen to their parents ramble on and on?
They've objected because they feel like that sometimes we misremember things that they say or do.
But I said, here's the opportunity is to present your own side of the story. That's if you come on the podcast, you can present your own side of the story. Hence, me and Andrew are talking, and Andrew's saying his point of view, and I'm saying my point of view. So getting back to The Hobbit, we do have a funny story. That was Kanoa reading The Hobbit, and this how we got into the whole school conversation. So when he was in, I believe, third or fourth grade, very young, like in elementary school, one summer he said, "Mom, I really want to read The Hobbit." And I was like, "Okay, you know, you have to read one book for the summer, so that's quite a challenging book, but he's like, "I really like it, you know." So I was like, okay. So we had this, I think, was it like 30 minutes a day or 45 minutes a day? Anyways, but that was part of the requirement for like the summer school project. Not for summer school, but the school said over the summer, read one book and spend like, I don't know, I think it was 30 minutes a day reading. And I was like, wow, really impressed. Even, weren't you impressed, hon?
Yeah. It's above reading level.
Way above grade level. So we're like, okay, if he's up for the challenge. And literally the whole summer, I could vividly remember him on the couch in our living room before we fixed up the house. He was like, the book was like right up to his face. He was like so into the book. And I was really like feeling, wow, so proud of him.
And where is this going?
Again with your where is this going question?
I know where it's going.
Okay, so what happened is you know, like I would say like by close to the end of the summer, you know, these are like weeks into the summer, I see that he's like more than halfway through the book. And I was like, hey, Kanoa, you know, are you really enjoying the book? And he's like, yeah, it's really good. And then I was like, wasn't it crazy, you know, what happened with the, I was like, with the horses or pony? Because yeah, the horses, because he was really into horses at that time too. And then he looked at me and he's like, what horses? And I was like, you know, the part with the, what are those, the trolls or what are those things? Those big creatures?
The orcs.
Yeah. I don't even remember the names of. Anyway, I said, with those, and he was like, what? And then his eyes just welded up and he just started bawling. And
the jig was up.
The jig was up. And he was like, I don't know. And we're like, what? What do you mean you don't know? And he said, well, I haven't been reading this book. And I was like, all these weeks you haven't been reading the book? What have you been doing? And he's like, I just daydream. I pretend to read the book so I can relax and lie on the couch and daydream instead of reading. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was very mad because he deceived us and tricked us.
But he also didn't want to disappoint us.
Yes,
because you also were so amazed.
Yes.
By, and so was I.
Yes,
him, we were reading The Hobbit. Yes. For like a third grader.
Yes. So, but the point of that story is that, you know, people do things thinking that that's what their parents want, and it isn't necessarily what, you know, they want. So The Hobbit led us to that. Okay, so that story was to talk about, well, if we were trying to homeschool our kids, I would not be a very good homeschool parent. Because there's these, which we did consider. So that was my question to you is, what do you think about homeschool?
They would just, you know, fake their way through tests and then eventually find their way to USC. So. Yes. You know, find that's not a bad path.
Is that supposed to be a joke too, honey? Yes. Okay. Yeah.
That's how I do my jokes. It's very deadpan.
Yes, yeah. I know. Stacey's actually finds them funny. But sometimes I'm not sure if it's a joke or not. I have to go by his facial expressions. So, which wasn't very helpful at the time. You're making a lot of noises with your chair. Okay. So, talking about homeschooling and school, the value of school, that's how we got to.
School's very valuable.
Yeah, school's very valuable. Andrew does not like us to miss any school for non-important reasons.
Yeah, if it's not important, then you should go to school.
Yeah. So McKenna's question this morning, going back to that, what she said, could I stay home from school on Friday because it's jams day? And I said, no. And she said, but why not? Other people are staying home from school. And I said, well, those other people might not think it's a valuable day. But to me, I think it's a valuable day. It's a half a day on Friday. But jams day is when they have like activities and carnivals and having fun at the school. They play games. They, you know, do like relay races and challenges with their teachers. There's music.
It's the Friday before a 2-week spring break.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's supposed to be fun. And to me, it's important, like we were saying the other day, the importance of learning social skills. And it's like,
such as going to school dances.
Yes, such as school dances. So to me, that is like a school dance, like a school spirit day. I remember for me, I really enjoyed our school spirit days and school carnivals. But Andrew's answer was, what was your answer?
I was okay with it.
Yes.
Because I like the idea of the kid being like able to have some control over how they spend their time.
That's not how you said it. You said...
But that's the reason why.
But our conversation was, you said, if she came to me, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but say what you said to me.
Yeah, I said I'm okay with it.
You said, sure. If she came to me, I would have said, yeah. And then you respond, and I said, well, I don't think it makes sense because she's losing her social, you know, activity that's happening at school. And I think that's valuable. And then you said, what if, what did you say?
What if she wanted to stay home and garden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, that's different. And he said, well, you did it. So yeah. When I was in high school and middle school, my friend and I would skip unnamed friend would skip school and I stay home and work in my garden. So this goes back to back in the day when people had these, we lived in the suburbs of Long Island, New York for high school, and everybody had beautiful, perfect green lawns. People did not rip up their front lawns for gardening, but my dad did. He let me rip up half of the driveway to grow random things in our garden, like tomatoes and cucumbers and things that I liked. And the neighbors were not so fond of it at the time, but who cares? Now it's cool. So in the, I would say early 90s, to me, we thought this was super cool. Plus, I like growing things and, you know, eating from the garden, as most people know. So I would miss school once in a while to work in my garden. And my parents didn't know this, but I would just write a little note for myself. And, well, here's the other thing.
So how did you justify missing school?
Because I didn't miss any work.
Why did you not miss any work?
Because I caught up on whatever work that was taught on that day.
Okay.
And I also was a straight A student with, you know, no dings on my record.
Except for these unexcused absences.
No, they were excused.
Fraudulently excused.
I wrote myself a note. Anyway, so...
What about the social aspect that you miss out on?
Because I'm at all the social aspects. So,
but that
for
day
me,
you missed
right,
out on everything.
That day was a teaching day that I missed.
Oh, so unimportant day.
Yes, unimportant day. I didn't miss anything. So the point of it is, what I did back then, I would say I would be upset if McKenna went and, you know, missed school without telling me and forged a note. But that's different than her missing the social aspect of Jams Day, and I told her that. So what I had done in school is different than what she's doing in school.
Well, right, so you're focused on what she is going to miss, but for your situation, you're focused on what you were doing instead. So what we don't know is what McKenna would have done instead.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. And I don't want her to miss Jams Day. So.
Right. So it has to be above that threshold.
Well,
like whatever she's going to do, like whatever is happening, like if, I don't know, if the Dalai Lama were coming and this was like your one chance, then yeah, you would miss school to go hang out
with the Dalai Lama
or whatever. I don't know. Just like, you know, a once in a lifetime thing. Mm-hmm. Right. Then you'd like, you would not even, it wouldn't even enter into your mind. Oh no, but what about the social aspect? You would be.
Well, the example I gave was, you know, during the teacher strike and all the kids were going to be put in the auditorium and watching a movie in the auditorium.
Uh-huh.
And for me, you know, it made sense for Kiki to miss school and stay home where she could actually, like, do activities.
Right.
And like,
because what she's doing at home, you would value more than what she would have been doing at school.
Yes.
So the problem that that McKenna had is she was only telling you stuff that she was missing and not really, you know, advocating for what she would be doing instead and why that's better.
Yes, but even if she advocated for something, let's say she's working on some science experiment, or whatever.
I was saying that, gardening. If she just said,
yes,
I want to say
you
I
said
garden.
Garden, I would have said no, because again, gardening at home with mom, which I would love for her to do. She does do that. She does. One amazing thing is she loves harvesting, you know, things to eat from the garden like me. Mm-hmm. So I do like having her with me to do that. But off topic is that even if she said gardening, so my point is, even if she said gardening, when you asked me the question, well, what if you, I was more offended that, you know, like what I comparatively, that and her are different situations. So if she, even if she said, hey, what if I don't go to Jams Day and I stay home and garden with you, I would have said no. I wouldn't have even hesitated. I'm like, nope. you're going to Jams Day, because I think Jams Day is a worthwhile activity for her to do. And ooh, this is a lot of talking, more than usual.
Well, you're all fired up.
Yes, because I wanted to have this conversation.
Okay.
But I brought up the one other thing is, for you, you were going to say yes, and I was very surprised because...
I like to keep you on your toes, like yes, I said.
When the last... The last time we were coming back from Hawaii on Saturday, when we're at the airport, they overbooked the flight, and they said, hey, they were offering a couple hundred dollars per person, and they've got to... offering $1,000 per person for a ticket. And I was like, we should take this deal. We'll get $5,000 credit if we all, you know, don't fly back tonight and fly back tomorrow. And my friend Wenyi, who actually lives in Hawaii, I even texted her. And she was like, I'll come pick you guys up in my van and you can stay with us for one night. And then you said, nope, not worth it.
I don't trust airlines. That's what it comes down to.
If it was just now you're going to try to blame it on the airline.
You know, unknown but trustworthy entity that said, I'll give you $5,000. If you like stay in Hawaii another day, I'd be like, maybe. But if it's the airlines, I feel like that they just pull all kinds of shenanigans. Uh-huh. We're sitting in our seat, by the way. We're already seated.
No, we were at the gate waiting to board. We were not inside.
Anyway, we're ready to go. And like, I'm not going to flip everything upside down for some cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of cash. And the other thing you said to me was, all right, you take the $1,000, you stay here by yourself, and I'll go home with our kids.
Because you so badly wanted to go.
Well, because I so badly wanted to save us $5,000 that would have paid for our tickets for next year. But you were unflexible of that. And then you said, I'm not going to be all tired and, you know, be exhausted for school the next day when we get back on a Sunday. So yeah, you were unflexible.
My own priorities. Yes, but if you wanted to do it, I wasn't going to stop you.
But again, talking about the threshold... That was not enough.
We have different thresholds.
Yeah, that was not enough of a threshold.
Nope, not for me.
So.
My price is higher than that.
Your price is higher than $5,000.
I value my time.
Okay, good. So you value your time and I value my time. But we're on two different pages for certain things and then we have to come to a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our, you know, job as parents, as a team or a couple.
That's right.
So in front of the children, we have to have a united front. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the goal of this talk.
Okay.
You're just saying okay and agreeing? So McKenna is going to school on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I guess that's it today. We made a decision. McKenna's going to school on Friday.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.